Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
What's life all about? What's valuable about your life? What's significant about my life? Does your life, does my life have really meaning? You know, who am I? Where am I going? Where did I come from? What's my purpose? Who are you? How would you define your life? How would I define my life? We see here all the big questions in life are asked.
The truth is, you already have all you need for a life of true joy. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young continues his message, Is Pleasure the Answer?, and reveals the one and only thing that can give your life true meaning and purpose. Stay with us. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in just a moment. Before we get to Dr. Young's message, if you're like most people, you've experienced some trials this year, sickness or fear, maybe loneliness, just to name a few. That's why Dr. Young wants to encourage you today by sending you his son Ben's brand new book called Survive the Day, Thriving in the Midst of Life's Storms. This book shows you how to draw from God's strength and trust in his promises in these uncertain times. We'll send you Survive the Day as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give. 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-WALK. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is winningwalk. That's winningwalk. How has the winning walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Is Pleasure the Answer? Part 2.
Look at what he says. He said, I said to myself, it's good to talk to yourself, isn't it? He says, come now, I will test you with pleasure to enjoy yourself, and behold, it, there's that little word, it, and behold, it too was futility. See, he's looking for it. What is it? Significance. What is it? Happiness. What is it? Meaning. Meaning in life. And then he says, I'm going to go through some situations here. I'm going to test everything that I can to see if in any one of these endeavors I will find significance, happiness, and life. And he walks us through them. Why? As he walks through these, I hope you and I will walk with him, because we get caught up in these same kind of pursuits. You know, what's it all about? You know, who am I? Where am I going? Where did I come from? What's my purpose? Will I make any difference that I live 2 or 3 or 4 score on this earth? And look what he says. He starts off and says, come now, I will test you with pleasure, so enjoy yourself. And he already tells us in the beginning, he tried pleasure. It was futility. But look at the pleasure. He said, verse 2, I said of laughter, it is madness. And of pleasure, what does it accomplish? I explained with my mind how to stimulate my body with wine while my mind was guiding me wisely and how to take hold of folly until I could see what good there is for the Son of Man to do under heaven and the few years of our lives. He starts off with pleasure. Logical place, isn't it? I want to find meaning in life, happiness in life. Let's just try pleasure. He started off with humor, laughter. Some people like to fill their life constantly with laughter and humor, and you can't get serious a minute. It's almost a protective kind of layer. I like laughter. Man, I like having fun. I love pleasure. All of us do. But when we get so caught up in our own humor and our own cutting remarks and our own lifestyle, we're covering up for something. Solomon says, I just brought before my court jesters, comedians, and I tuned in anything that was hilarious and funny and different. And he said, I tried that. He said, it didn't satisfy. Then he said, I turned to wine. Let me say something up front. You cannot build, I think, a biblical case for total abstinence from the Bible. Did you hear that? I don't think you could do it. And I know the verses, a little wine's good for the stomach. I know red wine's supposed to help our cholesterol that we all battle with. But I also know that Paul says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Having said all of that, understanding alcohol was different in the culture of that day, let me say something. Solomon tried to find meaning in life through drink, through wine, through excessiveness. He said, I always kept my wits about me. A major problem in our culture today is alcohol. Make no mistake about it. You go to the prisons, how did you get here? Well, I was drinking. You go and you see tragic accidents on the highway. What was happening? They were drinking. And you go and see unwanted pregnancies. Well, we were drinking. And on it goes until you look statistically where we are with alcohol in America. Over 100 million Americans regularly drink alcohol. We have about 330 million citizens. Over 100 million regularly drink. Of those who regularly drink, between 10 and 12% will soon have a serious problem with alcohol. Ultimately, over 15 to 17% will have a problem with alcohol. Bottom line, 25 to 30% of the 100 million regular individuals who drink alcohol in America will have to deal with this seriously before they leave this earth. That is statistically straight and honest. It is a tremendous problem in our society. Make no mistake about it. Now, moving on from alcohol, now we have marijuana is coming to be. Well, what's wrong with marijuana? Let me tell you, you ask anybody who is a scientist who's looked at the brain, and they will tell you, Dr. Ben Carson told me as a neurosurgeon, he said it is a proven scientific fact that a child's brain is not developed until they're 28 years of age. And anyone who's participated in marijuana, your brain is going to be incapacitated radically for the rest of your life, different degrees for different individuals. You can book that. Now you move on to that. We've got opioids that's just an epidemic among our young people. And now you look back on all of these addictions and all of these wine in the 21st century, and what do we have? For the second year in a row, life expectancy in the United States has declined. Did you get that? Third world countries, life expectancy is increasing. Other developing countries, life expectancy is increasing. In the United States, the average life expectancy is slowly and now dramatically going down. Well, how can this be with all of our drugs, with all of our medicine? It is because this young generation is throwing their life away in so many arenas we can't even imagine it. Solomon followed this path of pleasure. He said, there's no pleasure in constant laughter. There's no pleasure in pursuing these in wine in his day and whatever the addicted things would be. And I would say that's true today. When there is emptiness, it has to be filled with something. And tragically, the younger generation and many of us are filling our lives with things that take away our happiness now and will shorten your life radically. That is absolutely true. So we look at Solomon and we learn from him. He said, I'm going to try pleasure. He said, I didn't find any meaning in pleasure. And then he says, I'm going to try projects. Surely I'll find meaning there. Look at verse 4. He said, I enlarge my works. I will build houses for myself. Note the plural in all of these. And I planted vineyards for myself. I made gardens and parks for myself. I planted in them the kind of fruit trees. I made ponds of water for myself from which to irrigate the forest of growing trees. Myself. In fact, in the first 11 verses, in the first 11 verses of chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes, he mentions I 21 times. You think he wasn't narcissistic? Looking for it, meaning. He tried pleasure, didn't find it there. Boy, he tried projects. All of these things he did. He was a horticulturist, a gifted someone in agriculture, and certainly he built the temple. How long did it take for him to build the temple in Jerusalem? A magnificent edifice. Took him 7 years. He also built his own palace. You know how long it took him to build that? 13 years. Oh, wait, 30,000 workmen. You see, he did it for myself. I'm going to build projects, put my name on it, get bigger and better and more, and maybe in this I'll have meaning, I'll have significance. My life will count for something. But he got through, he said, that's all vanity. Pleasure, you don't find meaning there. Projects, you don't find meaning there. And then he moved on. He said, I'm going to try something else here. I'm going to try wealth and possessions. Verse 7, I bought male and female slaves, and I had homeborn slaves. He was the first ruler in Israel ever to make slaves of his own people, the first one. He said, and I possessed flocks and herds larger than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. You read about the number of animals that he had under his power in his ranches. It's unbelievable. They're listed there, a lot of it in 1 Kings. And he said, I collected for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. He collected 1 year 666 shekels of taxes. Do you know how much that is? 25 tons of gold. You can take all the multi-billionaires in the world and put them together. They can't even touch the wealth of Solomon. The most successful man, the wealthiest man who's ever lived under the sun. And now he's trying to find meaning in life, and he's running down all these traps and all these trails. He said, I didn't find it in pleasure. I exhausted myself there. I didn't find it in projects, all the things I built and constructed, eye candy for myself. And then he moves on. He said, I just hoarded things, things of value, property, gold, silver for myself. He said, I didn't find meaning in my great wealth. But then he said, this is where I'm going to find significance. And look at this, the latter part of verse 8, I provided for myself male and female singers and the pleasures of men, many concubines. Now he's going to fulfill all of his passions. He's going to find meaning there. And I'll tell you, do you know Solomon had 700 wives, 300 concubines? He perhaps had the largest casting couch in history. He exalted himself in sensuality. He became jaded, clearly. He found no meaning there. You think we are just discovering sex in our sexually saturated culture today, and man, this is a unique time in history? No, it's not. It's absolutely not. And somebody says, I am shocked at all the revelations we're seeing. They're casting couches in Hollywood and Washington, New York, Houston, all corporations, all companies, all neighborhoods, it's just popping up everywhere. We say, man, I am just stunned by all of this sensuality, by all of this that's going on. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we've been teaching for decades in our schools that sex is recreation. There's no moral connotation to it. We've been teaching that there's no absolute rights and no absolute wrong. We've been teaching that you can have your truth and I can have my truth, and my truth is just as valid as your truth because there is no ultimate truth. Is anybody surprised? We have sown and now we're reaping. We have sown promiscuity and sexuality without any cost, any relationship. And now we prayed for a crop failure, but now we're reaping what we have sown. And the amazing thing to me is some of those who had played roles in movies, some of those who said, you know, all this puritanical stuff, it doesn't work, they're the ones who are so upset about it. This is what happens in societies. And we're seeing it happening all around us today. Consent seems to be the only factor involved, doesn't it? That which was wrong 5 minutes ago, with consent of that person, it becomes okay. And we've taught our children that a little thin thing of latex will protect them from unwanted pregnancy and sexually transmitted disease, which is a lie from any measurement of understanding. And we wake up and say, oh, what's happening? This has been perpetuated in colleges and universities, now in junior high and high schools all around us. There's no absolutes. In fact, someone told me about an app that you can get. I'll not give you the name of it. And you can get this app, and you can give all of the facts and figures about yourself. And it is an app, not called this, where hookups take place, and you can trigger this app, and you can discover if there's someone who's also signed up within a block of where you are, or a mile, there may be two or three, and all you have to say that I'm here and you're there, and that's meet. That is right here today. Anyone could do it at this moment, and you'd find those of like mind right around the neighborhood. Solomon explored all of this, and he said, it's empty, you find no meaning, no significance. He said, that's not it. That's not it. I thought as I looked at this in the latter parts of these 11 verses, Solomon says, I was a great man. And he was. My goodness, he was. He said, I was filled with pride. He said, look what all I did. Man, trace his life. Nobody's close. There's nobody in second place, ladies and gentlemen. You can't name them. He said, I was great, I had it all. And he expressed all of this pride. But he said, as I marched down every stream, tried everything, went through all the avenues, faced all the big questions, he said, I came out empty, void. He said, all of it has no meaning, has no significance, did not lead to happiness. Quite a testimony, isn't it? Maybe it'll awaken some of us who are going down some of those dead-end trails that'll take the life and the joy out of you, that will guarantee you'll never find meaning and significance in this life. And I thought about, are there any modern-day Solomons running around? When Tom had won only 3 Super Bowl rings a few years ago, he was interviewed on 60 Minutes. I want you to look verbatim of something that what was said. He said, He says, I mean, I'm making more money now than I thought I'd ever make playing football. Kind of understatement. He said, why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still, listen, think there's something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey, man, this is what, there's our word, it is. Surely you've reached a life that is meaningful. This is what it is. A lot of people would say that. He said, I reached my goal, my dream, my life is Tom Brady. But then there's the rest of the interview there, 60 Minutes. Brady says, me, I think, by the way, this is almost like a prayer. God, there's got to be more than this. And the narrator said, what's the answer? What's the answer, Tom? He said, I wish I knew. I wish I knew. I would say to this Solomon-like personality, it is not an it. It is Jesus Christ.
Now, before we end today's program, Dr. Young is here in the studio to share more proven truth about the secret to true happiness. Dr. Young, many people who may not know Christ spend years seeking pleasure apart from God. What would you tell them about the abundance of happiness in life found in Christ?
A lot of people, through hedonism, pleasure, what makes me feel good, satisfying all the drives, all the glands of my life, we think, boy, this is really pleasure. The only problem with that is that it's at best temporary, and at worst it continues to debilitate us, whereas if we're in on God's plan, God's agenda, as he has built you, as he has designed me, that is not only pleasure, but it is joy. And it is permanent. God's way works. God's way gives validity to life. God's way is thrilling. All other sensual stuff come and go. But I'm going to tell you something. God's grace, God's joy, when it exists in us, we'll discover that the pleasures of life are amplified. The beauty of life is put on display like never before. Simply stated, I'm a pragmatist. God's way, when we live it out, fills us with purpose, with completeness, with relevance, with meaning, and with joy. There's no higher pleasure than this.
Very helpful. Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope you're being encouraged through today's message and taking new steps in your own winning walk with Christ. We want to help you even further by sending you a brand new book from Dr. Young's son, Ben, called Survive the Day. Trials in life are inevitable, and sometimes difficult circumstances continue with no end in sight, while prayers for miracles seem to go unanswered. But in Survive the Day, Ben shares personal experience, hard-won wisdom, and counterintuitive choices to help you flourish in life despite heartbreaking challenges. We're excited to send you a copy of Survive the Day as thanks for your gift to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now and give and request your copy. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for being with us here today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young reveals the true purpose of your life here on Earth. That's tomorrow on The Winning Walk.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support enable us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world